Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Welcome to church today. We bless God for a time like this. We give God all the glory and we give God all the honor. Hallelujah. It's a special day today, and we believe that God is going to speak to us. Can we lift up our voice and begin to thank God for a morning like this? I want you to begin to pray in the spirit. Open your mouth and begin to speak in the spirit. Libra vesendi namako mvalagadia. Kumbila mando mfelebesia. Roundino vendaba kumbila makoshe. Lombila masaya. I vibrando shende kebranda saya. Internema kumbelebesia. In valabranda bakosaya. In novelement dilaka brandisaya. Oh Father, we bless you. Oh Father, we bless you. Branda babo shebe. Kombele de degedesaya. Lift up your voice. 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 Vebrando mbele kundina masaya. Ikado brando mbele messiah. Kumando velendini mikapa. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Father, we bless you. Father, we bless you. Lift up your voice. Oh, Spirit of God, you are welcome. 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 Membro vesanda basaya don cobrasai bendi convesede lekete veletini nimi ikaya. Oh Lord, we bless you. We thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. It is always our custom. We want to read our anchor scriptures upon which today's message is going to stand upon. And we want to read the book of John chapter 16, verse 8 to 11. John chapter 16, verse 8 to 11. Are you here with me? Are you sure? All right. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. So we can add it at verse 10. Today our emphasis is on the verse 10. Okay. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Our second reading will be taken from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the verse 17 to 21. Verse 17 to 21. Verse 17 to 21. Let's read the King James first. Then I would ask you to bring the NLT. Because our discussion, or the word we're going to really focus on, will come from this very scripture. So, therefore, if any man be in Christ, I know you are very, very, very familiar with this very scripture. Becky, it's one of your favorites, right? And we have been quoting this. Today is going to help us to establish certain reality of the kingdom. So let's read. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Let's continue. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of what? Reconciliation. So if you don't know you have a ministry, now you have, I've told you, there is a ministry that has been given to us. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, and as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21. For he had made him to be what? Sin. For us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And our last scripture, which we are all going to read together. Is the book of Psalms chapter 97 verse 2. Psalms 97 verse 2. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Oh, we are reading together. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. Let's read together. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his. Let's take it again. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Hallelujah. So we started an exposition last week on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, particularly to the world. So today we are looking at the part two of the Holy Spirit and the world. The Holy Spirit and the world. Now, last week, as a build up upon last week, today, to be able to appreciate what we're going to do today, we are going to look at seven sections which we are going to establish today's point. So I'm going to do a very short recap because it entails a lot here, so that I can meet up to time. I don't want to do a part of this one. This one must be a full message delivered. Now, last week, we started looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we established that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to the world, to the individual believer, and then towards the church. And therefore, we must know the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the world. It's very important because it is upon that when we are communicating with him, or we are fellowship with him, we know how we can prepare ourselves for him to have expression as far as his ministry is to the world. Because we are the ones, the Bible said, go ye into the world, right? And make disciples. So it is on our movement that the ministry of the Holy Spirit can be dispatched. Are you with me? So our second reading talk about the ministry of reconciliation, which we will come there. The Bible never instructed the Holy Spirit to go into the world. It is us that has been instructed. But as we take the step to go into the world, the Holy Spirit will be able to minister unto the world his ministry that he has unto them. And therefore, we need to understand the kind of ministry he ministers unto the world in order to be able to make room for him to do his job. Hallelujah. In other words, what is of the Holy Spirit, it is obvious that we cannot do it. Hello? That is why there is always a partnership between the Spirit and man. What is of the Holy Spirit means that we don't have the capacity to execute it. So last week, we started to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we established that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to reprove. That word over there is what? Eleglesia, right? And we established that the meaning of that word is what? To what? Convict and to what? Convince. We came to the explanation of the point of conviction and conviction, and we looked at one of these places where the Holy Spirit convicts or convinces the world. I hope you remember the convictions and then the convincing, because we don't have much time to go back into that. So that we said that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to convict and convince the world, the unbeliever. So in what aspect is that done? Number one, he said he convicts the world of sin, and he convinces the world of what? Sin. Now today we are going to look at the Holy Spirit convincing the world
about righteousness and convicting the word of what? Righteousness. Convict means that there is a proof that this is true. Convincing is that you have accepted that it is what? It is true. That is about those two words. So convicting means that there is proof, undeniable proof, that what is presented to you is true. That is why in the court of law, they will read all the what, conclusions or the matter point upon which the jury has concluded that you are what, you are guilty of a crime. And it is true. But they will also make sure that they convince you by their presentation that what the jury has agreed on is what is true. So today we want to see how the Holy Spirit is able, or how the Holy Spirit is able to minister the principle of what, righteousness, true conviction, and convincing. Hallelujah. And you find out that for somebody to be born again, it takes the conviction and the convincing of what, sin, righteousness, and judgment. When these three things are accomplished, people give their life to the will of God. Hallelujah. So let's start. Now, for us to be able to divert or dig deep into how the Holy Spirit accomplished this, we first of all need to establish the principle of righteousness. Now, most of you have heard the word righteousness, righteousness, righteousness. If I should ask you what righteousness is, you are going to explain it to me from the religious point of view. But actually, the word righteousness is a borrowed term also from the legal framework. That is why when I started, I began to investigate salvation, I found out that salvation is a legal matter. Because both sin, righteousness, and judgment are facts that are built on legal proceedings. Legal proceedings. Righteousness is a legal word which means balance, which means alignment or right standing. And that is why in the practice of law, the symbol that represents law is what? The beam balance. You can check. Every court, every legal practice has that symbol as a representation. Do you know a beam balance? If you forgot density, today we will do density here. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So, a beam balance is a type of scale that has two sides, right? And that the weight of one object, the mass of the object, is determined by the balancing of this side. So when you talk about righteousness, it's a legal terminology that means there is what, alignment. So when we want to know the weight of an object, it is the alignment that tells that, okay, this is the actual what, weight. So in the court of law, the symbol that represents law is what? The beam balance, that scale. Therefore, righteousness means what? Alignment. Right standing or what? Balance. Hence, the righteousness of God. Hello, are you with me? Hence, the righteousness of God means alignment with God, or having the right standing with God, or having the right balance with God. Romans chapter 1 verse 7 says that the righteousness of God has been revealed from faith to what? Faith. So whenever we are talking about righteousness, is a legal term which means that you are in alignment with God, you are either in balance with God, or you have the right what, standing with God. Hello. Follow me. I said we are looking at the true picture of what? Righteousness. Therefore, anytime we talk about righteousness in perspective, it has nothing to do with moral right. It has to do with justice and fairness. It has to do with what? Justice and fairness. So Psalm 97 verse 2 says that righteousness and judgment are the habitation of God's throne. In other words, where God's throne is established, what surrounds that throne, or the environment that necessitates, or what can capture the throne of God, is an environment of what? Justice. Righteousness and what? And justice. So righteousness here is talking about right standing. And the justice here is talking about fairness. So nobody can come before the throne room of God without meeting the required what? Right standing and the justice of God. So righteousness has nothing to do with moral ethics. It's a legal term. It's a legal requirement that demands that whoever wants to approach God at his place of habitation, which his throne, because the Bible said God is always seated on his throne. And whenever you come before the throne of God, before you can be able to have a place before his throne, it is on the fact that you have met the right or the requirement of right standing, alignment with him. And there is fairness in that alignment. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Having defined this to you, what is this point of alignment? Are you with me? Hello? Are you with me? What is this point of alignment that we want to talk about? Because the Bible said that the Holy Spirit shall convict and convince the world of what? Right standing with God. Is that not it? So now let's look at this principle of right standing. And this is the principle of what? Positioning. When God created everything, he determined the position which every created to give it perfect alignment with him. Now if you look at the story of Genesis chapter 1, the creation story, you will find out that there is a God, an artistic God, one who is very creative, strategically positioning his creations or his creatures in a beautification way, also to arrange in alignment with him. Because in the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, the Bible said, for all things were created for him. So the thing was positioned in such a way that it would serve his what? That is alignment. Let me help you. I always use the kitchen as a way of presentation. Now when you enter the kitchen and you want to cook, right, the way and manner which you will arrange the things you want to use to cook will be different from this person, two of us. For you to be able to achieve what you want to do, there is a way and manner by which you arrange the things, right? And the things themselves do not determine the position they want to be. It is you who wants to use them, determine the position by which they should be. The Bible said in the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 that all things were created by him and not for him. So it is of God to decide which position by which you should be. And at that position means that you are in alignment with him. And that is righteousness. This act of God did not exclude man. In the sense that when God created man, God did not leave man to choose where he would be on earth. Three of us. The Bible was very specific in the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 8. That God planted. Listen to it though. Let's read it. That is why a man can be planted. Let's read Genesis chapter 2 verse 8. And the Lord God did what? Planted a garden eastward in Eden. And then he put the man, and whom he has what? Formed. For the purposes of alignment, right standing. Not even in the garden. The eastward of the garden was the place chosen that man should be located to give him right what? Standing with God. Because the throne of God has to do with what? Right standing, alignment. I hope I've not confused you. So we're talking about legal term over here. And when we talk of legality, we're talking about fairness, justice, order. That is law. And God is a God of order, and God is a God of law. So he decided the position of everything. Man was not excluded. Man was created by God. And God never gave man the right to choose where he will be. Is that in scripture? When God himself decided where man is best fit in his order of what? Arrangement. That man will meet the requirement of what? Alignment. is very mindful of alignment. God is very mindful of right standing. Such that even when the people of Israel were moving on the desert, there was a detailed way by which they should camp. Yes. That was detailed. So you can't decide that, oh, Francisca is my friend. She's in the tribe of Ephraim. And I'm in the tribe of Manasseh. Oh, because we are, I can leave her place and come and pitch. No, 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 you can't do that. You cannot. So the tribes were pitching according to an order God gave, an alignment. And the families in those tribes, so over 3 million people who were traveling on the desert, were arranged in an order. Because we serve a God who is mindful of position. Because his throne, the habitat of his throne, for him to exercise, what do we say to, we're talking about governance, rulership, kingdom. For God to exercise his dominion and exercise his rulership, there must be righteousness and justice. So he must make sure that everything is at a point that nobody can question. So the moment there is disorder, God leaves the sin. When God enters your life and he wants to rule, if God wants to rule, he will take charge. Yes, he will take charge. Because his throne cannot be positioned in a place where there's no alignment. So there must be what? Alignment. God is very mindful of alignment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, every creation of God was in a position such that the creation should be able to meet an alignment or have right standing with God. And that principle is what? Righteousness. So righteousness was God's idea right from the creation story. In his mindset, that everything must be in its place of what? Order. Including what? Man. But what happened? In the Garden of Eden, there was an issue of what? Disorder. And therefore, we need to understand this issue. So what happened in the Garden of Eden was an issue of disorder, triggering God's what? Legal nature. If you don't know, God is a very legal person. Today I'm telling you, righteousness and not justice is the habitation of his throne. This perception about God will help you to understand that things don't just happen in the spiritual realm. They follow protocols. So now let's do this. So God by himself determined the position of all his creation. Therefore, it is best to say that the position of every creature is in the place of right standing before him. Which means that that creature has met all demands of justice and righteousness. Justified. So, in the spiritual system, how God has ordered things, a living creature will not question God why an angel is here, because he's in the place of order. God did everything such a way that there's no room to question him. There's no room. Because you see that all of us are moving according to a particular pattern. And your place of positioning has everything that you need to be able to express yourself. Now, one thing that is very important here to understand is that when God was instituting this place of positioning, he did it within the premises of laws. And if you remember very well, when I was talking about miracles, signs, and wonders, I explained to you that in this time realm, God has subjected the time realm to be governed by what? Laws, statutes, ordinances. Do you remember? Do you remember that? So whenever God stepped in to suspend any of these laws, that is when miracles what takes place. So miracles is when God stepped into time realm to suspend the laws. These laws was to determine alignment, order, positioning. So every creature of God is governed by certain principles, certain laws of God, to keep them in their place of what? Alignment. That's why we have the law of ordinance. It is the law of ordinance that is able to keep the sea from not going beyond its boundaries. And even when it tries, it will be resisted. People have been living on coastal areas for many years. How many times have you heard that the sea has come and take over the whole place? And has made, no, it can't happen. Because by the law of positioning, every creation of God is positioned at a place by certain divine rules and principles. And that's God's wisdom. So your place of positioning has boundaries, has limitations, and these are laws. And it is that these are the Bible said, until the act is taken away, these laws can never be broken. The ordinances of God cannot be broken. We are still talking about righteousness, alignment. Why the Holy Spirit will convict man? Follow me. This therefore suggests that if God indeed instituted laws to govern the positioning of every creation, it stands to say that no creation of God have the capacity to determine its locations and relocate, because you don't have that right was not given to you to decide where you can go or where you belong in terms of God's wisdom. If not, fishes would have also chosen to come and then enjoy sun. Sometimes you also have decided to go under the water and stay there for some time because the weather is too hot. Now, don't you agree with me? Are you with me? If that permission was in, we could have easily. That's why I say that it takes a lot to break certain natural laws. I'm still even talking about natural laws. With this level of pollution and traffic, we would have decided to fly and come to church to save. Are you with me? So we are talking about the issue of alignment. Just imagine the chaos you see in air. If there's traffic in Accra, we all decide to fly. With us, and even the animals are also busy, they want to fly. Just imagine the chaos that will happen in there. Just imagine the chaos that would have, if the sun said it is too far from the earth and he wants to come closer to see how human beings look like. So the principle of positioning, alignment, right standing with God, is determined by God. And he gave not any creature that right to be able to decide how to relocate or move from its place of positioning. The moment you do that, you have committed what? That treason. You have broken, you have caused disorderliness. That is an act of unrighteousness. Are you with me? Are we learning something today? Are you with me? Do you know that man was exclusive of that? Man was not exclusive of that. Man also had no capacity to decide to relocate or change its place of position. And you will see that in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2, God told man that the day you shall eat, there were rules. God never gave man. You see, rules were there before laws. I mean, laws were existing even before Moses. God told him, number one, make sure that you keep this place I've given you. And two, make sure that you do not eat. For the very day you shall eat of this, you shall be separated from me. The word dead means what? Separation. So what kept man in alignment was law. You shall not. But do you know the truth of life? Whenever you break the laws of this country, do you know what you are trying to communicate to the country? You seek to be independent from the country. Yes. That is why in the court, if you break a law, it amounts to death. Because all of them are bound by that law. So the moment you break that law, means that you are trying to say that you are beyond. Are you with me? So we are all dependent on the laws of the country. We are all subjected. So the master of all of us, the law. So in court, when you break a law, it means that you have decided that you want to be our master. Because if you are now trying to tell the master that you are you will not listen to, that master means that you are also a master on your own. So God gave those laws to let man know that I have the final say. You are subjected to certain principles to be able to what? Operate. So what Adam did in the Garden of Eden was a matter of law. Are you with me? Do you get what I'm trying to talk about? It's not a matter of law. So when Adam decided to do something different, what Adam was trying to say that, Lord, yes, indeed you said this law, but I want to prove to you that I can do without your laws. And if you don't want the laws of Ghana to govern you, what do you do? Where you leave Ghana? Right? Now we want to, a bill has been passed about family right, and what is the name of that bill? Which has the LGBT covered fully. Means you people don't follow the news. It's a family values and something that's been passed. When the executive signed to that bill, and you want to practice lesbianism or you want to be a gay, the only way you can do that is to leave Ghana. You have to relocate. You have to change your position. But if you want to remain in that position, you can't do it. That is righteousness. So when we say somebody's unrighteous, it means that the person has decided not to align with where the person is. He has decided not to align with what determines how that territory is being what? Governed. That is what Adam did. So in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, we're going to read something about it. Let's go there. Since you didn't set the rules by which your position was determined, when you break it, you will find out that you lack the capacity to what? To fix it. Let's go something to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were what? Opened. And they knew that they were what? Naked, right? And they sew what? Fig leaves together and make themselves what? Aprons. Are you with me here? Now, this is talking about when man decided to what? Break the law. Rebel against God. Decided that, God, I want to be master of my own self. When they activated it, the first thing they did was that they saw that they were all uncovered. Because the place of covering, they've left that place. Is that not it? So they need to seek what? Covering. To be able to continue in that life which they had. They were naked from the time of creation, but they didn't know, because they were living under the intense glory of God. And there's no way you'll be in the glory of God and you'll see your nakedness. Are you with me? But the moment they broke that law of positioning, that they want to relocate, or they want to govern their own, they want to govern their own self in the same territory, they have to make covering for themselves. Let's see if this thing was able to solve the problem. So what Adam and Eve was trying to do was that, God, we want to decide how we want to what, deal with you. You don't decide. So we want to decide where we want to be able to what, deal with you. Therefore, we want to create our own mechanism by which we cannot establish our covering and then relate with you. Let's continue. Let's see if it worked. Hello, are you with me? Let's see if it worked. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid out. Now, if you've indeed covered yourself, why are you hiding? If your covering was enough. Now, let's see the reason why they were hiding. Hide themselves from the presence of God, from amongst the trees of the garden. And when the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. And I was what? He was what? So if indeed Adam had what it takes to fix the relocation he has done in the realms of the spirit, breaking the law, will he still be afraid? Okay. How many of you have ever destroyed something in the house and tried to fix it, you actually fixed it, but it was not up to how it was before you took it. Or you decided to dish a food and you tried to polish it, but still they caught you. And you knew that you'll be caught. How many? Let me see witness. If there's a witness in the house. Hallelujah. So, are you getting the picture here? If indeed they were able to fix what they did in terms of positioning, afraid. Are you following me? If they were able to come back to order to deal with God, would they be afraid? The Bible said, we are afraid because I was what? Naked. This suggests that God never gave any of his creation the ability to have the right standing with him if he has not given you that right standing. So, when Adam broke or left his place of positioning in the realms of the spirit, his throne, by breaking that law, he had no capacity to fix it. It means he has come short. The nakedness he has come short, and he's not able to make up for it. Let's go to the verse 21 of the same. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God made coat of skins and clothed them. So that error that they committed, at the end of the day, it required that God himself will come and fix it. Follow me very well, because this thing I've just said right now is going to make meaning to you why the Holy Spirit will convict men of righteousness, right standing. Because right from the garden of failed by our own effort to attain that. When God appeared, we ran away. Even though with a short fig leaves to cover their nakedness, it couldn't meet what it requires to stand before God. When God appeared in their presence, the Bible said they hid themselves because they didn't have what it requires, right standing. So when we talk about righteousness, is the ability to stand before God without the sense of guiltiness or authority. That is why the book of Hebrews said, come boldly before the throne room of grace, that you may obtain grace and find mercy. Because when you are coming before God, his throne is surrounded by righteousness and justice. Therefore, if you don't meet requirement, it's just like you walking to the office of the president in Chalawati. Anybody you meet on the way, you check yourself. You can't even go there. If we call you right now, Nanado wants to meet you, I'm sure some of you will go home and change your clothes. Because as you are going there, the security people will make sure that you are within the right standing. Recently, there was an issue about an American rapper who came to Ghana. People, you know, his name was, is it Meek Mill? What's the name? God. Meek Mill went to meet our president and he was wearing shorts and a t-shirt. And he stood on the podium of the state and addressed the president. After that, the whole country was on fire. Yes. The chief of staff received it left and right from every Ghanaian. Why? Because the appearance of that gentleman before the man of the state was not meeting that or the statement or the requirement. So even before you get close to the throne of God, there are systems, because the habitation, it is justice and righteousness. So there are systems over there that will check you. So you yourself, you can't even go, because you don't meet the right standard. So when God came in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve hid themselves, because when they heard his voice and they saw what was coming and they look at themselves, they do not qualify. So right from that beginning, man couldn't have what it takes to have the right position. God. That is why the work of the Holy Spirit to prove this fact that it is true that no man have what it takes to stand before God. And he's the one who convinces them what it takes to stand before God. Follow me. Are you with me? Are you sure? So because what Adam did was an eternal issue, and it made Adam lose his place of position, alignment with God. Even though God clothed them, it was a temporal thing. It was like a promising note to bring forth the fullness of what he intended to do. To bring man back towards alignment. Now, for God to be able to bring man back to a place of positioning, two things must happen. Number one, there is a claim of what? Justice. That must be met. Hello? Because God is a God of justice and fairness. There must be, you can't have right standing when there's no justice. Don't forget that somebody did the same thing before man. Two of us. Who was that? Lucifer. And he faced the real consequences of it. So if man has committed the same thing, it means that God cannot overlook it, because he's a God of what? Justice. But do you know the wisdom of God? Because God had in his heart that no matter what, irrespective of what man will do, he will make sure that man becomes the true image and likeness of him, he made provisions in case man finds himself in this situation. So in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, the verse 4 and 5, the Bible said he has already redeemed us before the foundations of this world through Jesus Christ. So there was already a provision even before we were brought into the sin, that should we meet the mark along the way, that provision be what? Be triggered. That is why the devil hated the message of the cross. So in the Garden of Eden, what God did over there was that was justice by substitution. Do you know that the animal that was killed was an innocent animal? Hello? Do you know that the animal God killed and took the skin to cover Adam and Eve was an innocent animal? Hello? So do you know what was happening? From that day, anytime Adam and Eve approached God, God was not seeing them. He was seeing that innocent animal, because what their covering, what was the outward appearance, was that innocent. So right from the Garden of Eden, God started the process of what? Redemption. I'm still talking about righteousness, because we need to understand the principle of righteousness. So the Bible says, for the righteousness of God has been revealed from what? Faith to what? Faith. So with Adam and the wife, how God brought them back to position and was able to deal with them was that an innocent animal was a substitution by justification. So that animal that was killed was innocent. So their skin covered them to show that they are innocent. God was not dealing with them directly. And from that day, God started instituting the procedure to which man will be permanently what? Restored. What happened? Jesus made a statement that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of what? Righteousness. Because he has gone to be with the Father. How would the Holy Spirit have the audacity to tell man that there is right alignment? The thing is, the righteousness of right standing because of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will be able to do that because Jesus came in and met all the requirement that needed for man to God. This may sound a little bit technical to you, but I'm going to conclude and you understand what exactly I want to say to you. Now, what Adam did was an eternal issue. No sacrifice of an animal can be able to what? Meet it. And you know that it takes God to be able to determine the alignment. I've already explained that in the kitchen, the rice does not tell where it has to be. You tell the rice that you have to be here for me to use you. So if the rice fall on the floor, it doesn't get up on itself to go back to the place you want it to be. Two of us, you pick it up and put it there. So it means that no matter what man will do, it will require God to bring him back to his place of position. And that was in provisions of deed. So when Jesus came on the earth, he came to meet that requirement, that justified man. In the course of this, you find out that you are a sinner by imputation. Not because you did it. When we talk about sin, then we have a lot of misconception about it. As you are here, you became a sinner because it was imputed to you. Do you understand that imputed? They say, into over toy. So whether you do or you don't do, then Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will now prove to the world that there's a true alignment that is required and convince them to accept it because he has gone to be with the Father. How could Jesus make that statement? When Jesus came, he came as what? Man, God incarnated. And when he was leaving, he left as what? Man. It means that as long as a man is able to go back to God and be at the right hand of God, it signals that every man henceforth has what it takes to be at the right hand of God. And what is righteousness? Right standing. So Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will convict them of righteousness because I am man. I will go back to the Father and I'll have right standing with him. And as long as I'm having right standing with him, it means that men have now been vindicated to be in alignment. From the very day Jesus ascended to heaven and he took the right hand of God. Have you ever heard of the accuser of our brethren again? He lost his throne. But until Jesus ascended, man ascended to be at the right hand of God, right standing with God, there was someone who was able to accuse us. So the Holy Spirit now able or has the ability now to now convict the world and convince the world that from henceforth, man has ascended and is at right standing with God. That's what the Bible said. We are seated at the right hand side of God in Christ Jesus above all. Why? Because the one who ascended to heaven was man, and the one who seated at the right hand is man. And that is the right alignment again. Do you know how man was planted at the eastward? When you take the cardinal point, which side of your hand is the east? Oh, today I'm bringing up some. Are you following? Oh, Jesus. When Jesus, the Bible said, Jesus, we are seated at the right hand side of God, and man was planted at the east of the Garden of Eden. And if you take the cardinal point, which side is the east? Which side is the east? So where did man fell from? The right hand side of God. And that is the same place Jesus went to what? Sit. Means that there has been what? Restoration back to our place. Are you with me? Eh? So the falling that Adam fell, or the falling that Adam fell in the Garden of Eden from the eastward of the garden, Eden means the presence of God. So when Adam fell from the presence of God, which is the right hand of God, that is where he was. Jesus came and said, I'll go back to the Father. Righteousness will be justified because I'll go back to the Father as man sitting at his what? Right hand side. The reason why today you have the audacity to confront principalities, powers and darkness is because your positioning has been what? Justified. You are able to approach the throne of God because your position has been justified. The reason why you should not let any man or woman intimidate you, because your place of oppression is that you are at your position where God has given you the mandate and the dominion principle is at work. I pray for you that today you will know that you have been justified. You have met all legal demands. See, as you sit here, you have met all legal demands because you fell by legality and you are restored by legality. When Adam fell, it was imputed to all of us. We all received accreditation. But when Jesus met requirements, we all received that accreditation. And this is what we call righteousness. So the Holy Spirit is able to do that because man ascended and took back our position. Hallelujah. Now, this is what righteousness is about. Why is it that it is becoming a whole hurdle for humanity to accept this? The reason why we cannot, by human effort, convince and convict people of this truth, okay, is because of religion and self-righteousness. Why it will only take the Holy Spirit to do this is because of religion and self-righteousness. Why? The foundation of sin, which means deviation, that man committed in the Garden of Eden, is rooted in three things. The first one is what? Pride. The second one is what? Lust. And the third one is what? Selfishness. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 said, for the pride of what? The word. The lust of what? The flesh. And the lust of what? The eyes. These are the things of what? The world. Sin is rooted in pride, in lust, and in what? Selfishness. When man decided to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, do you know what he decided to do? What he decided to do was that, God, henceforth, I've decided to be independent from you. Because what the serpent told the woman is that the day you shall eat of this food, you shall become what? Like what? So I do not need God. Adam ate the fruit not because it looks good. It's because of the motive that I will no more need God to do what I want to do. So the principle that man activated in the garden was that I do not need God. Why do you think you accept what God is going to give him? Are you with me? Man chose independence from God. Total independence. I have nothing to do with God. And if you check in scriptures, from Genesis chapter 4 verse 16 to 22, you found out that the first man who left the presence of God was the first person to introduce civilization. Who built the first city in the Bible? Cain went out from the presence of what? Do you read that? And dwelt in the land of what? Not at, on the east of what? Eden. Fake authority. Have you seen the fake authority? He left the presence of God but still wanted to remain. So you see, this was man deciding to choose how you attain God's what? So I want to be independent from God and still meet his what? His demand. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, embraced Enoch, and he built a what? A city, and called the name of the city after his son Enoch. Read all the way to verse 22. You find that all civilizations started with what? This city. Do you know why Cain did that? Cain did that to prove to God that he doesn't need God to survive. So, musical instruments were designed to replace the joy of God. Oh. Weapons were designed for security because we don't need God's protection anymore. Are you with me? Man left the presence of God to be independent from God. He wanted to be on his own. So, he developed security. Was born with the mentality that we can protect ourselves. Now, if the joy of God will not fill us anymore, we can rely on alcohol, we can rely on entertainment, and still have that what? That was what man did, what Adam did. See, Cain was the one who started bearing the fruit of Adam's act in the Garden of Eden. Cain was the first person. He was the first to kill. The first to leave the presence of God. Okay. So the moment he left, that ideology, that principle that was activated started working in man. I want to let you know why we cannot convince men to accept the righteousness of God. Because what man did in the Garden of Eden was that he actually rejected it and decided to choose his own path. So it will require, beyond the physical, somebody stronger to prove them that it doesn't matter whether you stay at the east side pretending that you are, you know, it will not work. Do you know that in our current world, all the civilizations that is taking place is just for one thing: to prove that God does not exist. Oh, you don't follow. Follow the thing, the likes of Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and all these billionaires. Follow what they say, and you know that the idea of the fallen man is to prove that they can do it without God. And therefore, they need no God. That's it. So now they are doing it, everything possible. If you don't take care, a time is coming, you will believe them. Because the things you used to pray to receive, they can give it to you without prayer. You see, when you travel to America, most of them don't believe in God. Because the things they used to pray for in Ghana here, they have to fast 7 days, sow seed. They don't need to do that over there. It is available. It means that obviously it's a proof that man do not need God to survive. So when beings of this nature carry this kind of mindset and DNA, and they step out and they are doing their things, in fact, they have been doing it, they have been able to survive, they are making it. Without God, you that there is a theory you can say that can convict them that they have missed it. Do you think there is a theory you can tell them that will make them, without any force of, oh Jesus, you cannot. That is why the conviction and the convincing of righteousness, right standing with God, has nothing to do with what you are saying. It has to do with what the Holy Spirit is doing. This pride, all these things I've said, the independence is born out of pride. This pride in man, that he can do it without God, has led man to the point that he even believes that there is a way he can attain God's righteousness by himself. These are all religions are born. Man takes pride in doing things to find fulfillment. So if you tell man that he has nothing to do to come back in alignment with God, even though he knows that there is something wrong with him, he will not believe it. Because it is not in the nature of man to accept things for free. How many of you here like free things? Your ego, your pride will be hurt if all the time people are giving things you don't want for. Romans chapter 10 verse 3. Even the baby wants to, when the mother is breastfeeding him or her, at a point, they want to hold their breast themselves and put it in their mouth. Pride. Hey, baby. You've not seen some before. You've not seen some before. Yeah. When they are breastfeeding them, they get to a point, they don't want to be dependent on their mother again. So they will decide, they want to position their breast themselves, leave it for us. The nature of man. Pride. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own what? Righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of what? Of God. That is man for you. So even though man knows that he has been depraved, he has come short, there is that inner conviction in man, he believes that he can be able to do something to meet that requirement. That is why if he fasts for some days, he believes that his sins are forgiven. Because that is the principle by which man left the garden. We can do it without God. Oh, no, God, I want to show you know that, yes, even though I sinned, I've been able to meet the requirement of what I've done. And all religion have been built on this principle of what? Independence. We can do it by
ourselves.
Genesis chapter 11. We show man trying to reach God. Let's not build a tower. So the brave nature, the mentality of the human being we are dealing with is such that there is no way we can, by theory, as humans, convince them or convict them that to meet God's standard, it is you accepting this. I'm bringing my message to a conclusion very soon. So, because of this state, the rooted nature of sin in man, even Jesus, when he has not been able to meet the fullness of righteousness and the Holy Spirit has come down, they rejected him. John chapter 5, verse 43. Let's look at something. Even Jesus, upon all the miracles and the things he has done that they saw, they still rejected. I come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will what? He will what? So Jesus was saying that if it takes that you will do something yourself in your own name, you will accept it as a means of what? Meeting God's what? Alignment. But me, who has come in the name of the Father, that you should receive me, you receive me not. Even Jesus was rejected. How much more you? That is why you're going to preach to them and tell them that accept Jesus Christ. And Lord, they will question you. Because they didn't see the role they are going to play to meet the things you have seen that they have done. That's why I say that salvation is 99% Holy Spirit, 1% man. You have to do nothing. If somebody accepts Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is doing the job. That should not be difficult for you to win souls. Because the conviction and the convincing is of the Holy Ghost. Even Jesus, when he has not passed through the system and was done, they rejected him. The Jewish people, they rejected him. Even the ones who knew God, they said they know God, they rejected the Son. Why? Because the decision man took in the Garden of Eden was to do it without God. So as long as God is fully involved, man cannot accept it. So it takes the Holy Spirit to prove that you cannot achieve it. Do you know how many people have fasted many days and nights? See, that is why they said, do you believe that some religions are saying that there is a book, two books, one for wrong, one for right? So when you do wrong, God marks it. When you do right, so when you die, you go before heaven, they'll compare. I didn't know that angels are into accounting now. Angels are now accountants and auditors. They have your books of accountability. Is it man's mentality? So people think that when they do good to people, when they give, when they do this, that is what, is it, there's nothing you can do to attain salvation. Salvation has to be imputed to you. Because you practically did nothing to become a sinner. Yes, you practically did nothing to become a sinner. Romans chapter 5, he said that as one man, sin was imputed to all. You did, see, whether you do, this is the whole thing. These things are real, though. It's just like this. When COVID came, did you have COVID? It's just one person who came to the country and they locked all of us down. It's not just one person. Were you having a COVID? Did you travel, Sam? But they locked you. Why didn't you come out and say, I didn't have it? You'd have seen it. Man, we all were locked down. But you don't want to believe that one man has caused you to. So it's not the fact that you have the COVID. It's the fact that somebody has done it and you are part of it. So if by one man sin was imputed to us, it means that there can be a provision that by one man. Because garbage in, garbage out. So if by one man sin was imputed, it is the same one man who can also what? Impute unto us what? Righteousness. Therefore, the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces men of the righteousness of God, which then leads them to receive it, to align. So when the Holy Spirit is done convicting them of sin and prove that they are sinners and they accept that they are sinners, the next thing he does is to prove to them that there is nothing they can do to meet the penalty awaiting them. However, it has been what? Paid for. It has been paid for. So when we go and we say that, come and receive Jesus. That word you've said, it is all that I've explained right now, even not into that much of a detail. And within a split of a second, the Holy Spirit is able to do that. Convict them of the righteousness of God. That there's nothing you can do to meet God's righteousness, to meet God's justice, God's fair dealing. You can do nothing. It must be imputed to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? So the Holy Spirit is the one who will do that. And we must know that God do not. And this is, see, this is where the whole issue stands now, which I'm concluding on. Do you know that the devil has so a mindset in every person that God is still angry with everybody? Now, give me the NLT of this scripture that I gave you. We're going to read something here. Then I'll conclude that scripture. Today, I want you to go back with this mindset that you cannot able to just, you cannot help man to accept Jesus. You cannot do it. It is not your capacity to do that. Because man rejected him in the Garden of Eden. The reason why he ate that fruit is because he had nothing to do with Jesus. He doesn't want to anything to do with God. However, he still wants to be at par with God. So he decided to stay at the east side of the Eden, close to it. Means that I'm still there, but I have nothing to do with you, and I'll still make it. So there is no way you can convict man that you cannot, because he rejected him from the beginning. So strong in him. So even when he came in the flesh, they still rejected him. It will require the Holy Spirit. So when the Bible said that until I call unto a man, he cannot come unto you. Do you understand it now? Do you get it now? It said, except I call you, you cannot come to me. So stop killing yourself that you went to preach somebody and said, God has not called the person yet. Because from the beginning, man already rejected him. So it is he who will stretch his hand and call him. That is why salvation is God reaching out to man, not man reaching to God. Because man is always running away from God. Man is always running away from God. Jesus said that light has come, but men what? Love darkness. Because their deeds are what? Evil. So they want to do, so no matter what, when there is light, they'll always look for darkness. That is why people love things of the world more than the things of God, because we always want to run away from God. What did Adam do in the Garden of Eden? He did what? Run away. He went to what? Hide. Run away. So man is always running away from God. So if God does not call man, man will never come to God. So don't think that there's nothing we can do to. Do you know how religion was born? Because of the good side of the tree of knowledge. That good side always trigger man that there is something about you that is connected to God. So do something to meet God. This means that everyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Their old life is gone. A new life of heart has begun. Continue. Verse 18. Bible, if you have the, I know most of you are using the electronic Bible. Okay, it's here. And all of this is a gift from who? Are you with me? Let's read. Look on the board. All of this is a gift from who? God. Who brought us back to himself? Who did what? Brought us what? Back to himself through what? Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. So there is a task, reconciling, bringing people back. How is that tax done? Let's read down also. Verse 20. This is a very strong statement, and I want to make it. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. Do you know the assignment we have been given? Our assignment is to tell people that God is not angry with you anymore. In fact, God does not hold anybody's sin against him till today. Before the sight of God, everybody's sin has been paid for. You ready to hear Bonnie Kebib? I'm not the one who said it. The scripture said, God is not, he said that the ones who are born, he said, God is not holding the sin of any person against him. So do you know why people will go to hell? People are going to hell not because of the sins they have committed or because they live in the nature of sin. People are going to hell because they rejected what God gave them. When you reject Christ, that's what the reason why people go to hell is because they reject Christ, not because of what they do. Because the fact is that God is not God, Jesus has paid for it, so nobody's owing God. So when you die, they'll check your account whether it has been what active that what you have. Everybody on this surface of the earth, from the day Jesus died till now, has been credited. You need to activate it. So when you die, all that they check is, have you activated what has been credited to you? If no, then it means that there's no any record to say that your things has been kept for it to work against you. So the reason why people tell them the truth, the reason why you are going to hell is not because of what you have done. You go to hell because you have refused what has been credited to you. That's our job. Tell them. And the Holy Spirit will do the rest. And he gave us this wonderful message. You're listening. Wonderful message of what? Reconciliation. Let's go. Verse 21. Verse 20. So we are Christ's what? Ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ. When we plead, come back to God. We are not sent to go and condemn people, but to go and send the message of appeal. God is pleading with man that what you have done, I have taken care of it. Even in the Garden of Eden, I gave a temporal covering for it. I have taken care of it now. My son has taken care of it. You have met all requirements. Come back to your place of positioning. That is the message of salvation. So the message of salvation is stop sinning. It's not stop sinning. The message of salvation is come back. That's the only parable that was matched to salvation, was the parable of what? The prodigal son. He came back. And the principle of righteousness stands on this. Verse 21. For God made Christ, listen to this, who never sinned, to be the offering of what? Our sin. This is the principle of righteousness here. So that we could be made, understand the prophet, could what? Be what? Made right with what? God. True. So, my brother and sister, you're having a right standing with God, not because of you stopping A, B, C, D, E, F, because Christ was made sin. So, every human being on the surface of this earth is qualified to have right standing with God. All it takes is that you what? Accept that gift. That's what God is appealing. What did God do for you? That's why he said, yeah, the judgment of God after this, if grace expires, what God will do to humanity? You support God. But man is not willing to accept this, because from the beginning of the time we committed such treason, we always seek to run away from God. It will take the Holy Spirit to what? Magnetize them. We want to pray. Our ministry of reconciliation is to continue to appeal. But the convicting and the conviction of righteousness is of the Holy Spirit. I took my time to explain the principle of righteousness. So it's a legal term. It's a legal issue. It's an issue of legalities. Breaking of bounds, breaking of laws. We cannot do it. Even Jesus was rejected. Even Jesus was rejected. He was rejected. Jesus was rejected. He said, I who came from the Father, you receive me not. Want to pray? Spirit of God, continue your ministry. We will also do our part is to carry the message of what? Reconciliation. Our ministry is the message of what? Reconciliation. And please, until we do this, this ministry of the Holy Spirit cannot be ministered to the world. Our job is to continue to appeal to the world. Not that they should stop sinning, but should receive what has been made for them. Let them know that Christ has been made sin, that they will become the righteousness of God. Christ has been made sin. So the Holy Spirit has come to prove to them and to convince them that it is true, that Christ has satisfied all legalities. Christ has met all legalities. And Christ has come that by him it will be imputed to them the right standing with God. The right standing with God. They cannot do anything but the nature they have. It is only God. Because it was God who determined their alignment. It's the same God who can restore them back to alignment. We never determine our place of positioning. From the time of creation, it was God. So there is no way we can attain that with him. But anything we do, no amount of fasting, no amount of inflicting pain, no lifestyle that we will live can meet that requirement. It is that he, God, has already become that. What else that God should tell you? What else should God tell you? We thank God. If you are here, the reason why you have accepted to be a Christian is because there is nothing you can do to attain alignment with God. However, somebody has paid for it. And you decided to enjoy that. You decided to enjoy that. Enjoy this freedom that Christ has bought for you. You are now seated at the right hand side of God. Do you know what that means? You sit in a place of authority. You sit in a place of authority. All things are subjected to you. So no power has the right to question you. Let them not remind you of your past. That is not the reason why you cannot cast out demons. Your reason why you cannot pray against demons. Deal with them because they are working on your consciousness. Playing on your consciousness. Telling you that you are a sinner. You are not a sinner. Jesus was made sin. You are the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. When you stand, you are not the one that you have been seen. You are the righteousness of God. So whatever is of the devil, you have right to confront it. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the world. That the righteousness of God has indeed come. The righteousness of God has indeed come in our time. It's Christ. Abravila Messiah. Whenever you are not in right standing, you miss it. You are in trouble. The reason why we are doing what we are doing is because we are not at the right standing with God. The sinner sinks because he is short of what? Standard. Anything that of not the standard will produce fake things. Anything that is not of standard, below standard, cannot meet requirement. So it's not what you have done or what you are doing. It is as a result of your standard. Jesus came to complete us. Oh, we have a right standing with God. He was made sin that we will become the righteousness of God. I want you to go back and carry this message of plea. Oh, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. God, grant me boldness that I may declare this message of reconciliation, that Christ was made sin, that you will become the righteousness of God. So you have to come back home. Come back home. Come back to the Garden of Eden, the east of God. Come back to the right hand of God. Because Jesus has gone to be with the Father. Jesus has gone to be with the Father. We have a man who is there at the right hand of God, giving us the clearance that we can also go to the right hand side of God. Come back to the right hand side of God. Come back to your place of positioning. Where you are is not your place of positioning. Stop running away from God. Stop running away from God. Because that separation will lead you to eternal separation. And God do not wish that you be separated from you. When you separate yourself from God, it leads to an eternal separation. Eternal death, where it is place of fire and torment. Come back home. You have gone too far. Come back home. You have gone too far. Come back home. Oh, Rabasati Namakoa. Spirit of God, we pray that you continue to minister this conviction of righteousness and this conviction of righteousness to the world. Let every sinner come to the realization that there is nothing. There is nothing. Let every man come to the realization that there is nothing we can do to attain God's alignment. It has already been catered for. Even right from the Garden of Eden, provisions were made. Provisions were made. Provisions were made. Provisions were made. Oh, as we come in with the Holy Spirit, we want to pray that Father, use us. Let our words bring the message of reconciliation. The Holy Spirit can only convict men of righteousness when we release the message of reconciliation. When we tell them come back home, the Holy Spirit will tell them why they need to come back home. When we tell them that Jesus was made sin that will become righteousness, the Holy Spirit will explain the truth to them. Because it is his ministry, not ours. Evangelism is as simple as this. That just send a message of reconciliation and reconcile the world to Christ. We bless you, God. We give you all the praise. Just
breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Oh.